then you could say we lost to the Super Bowl champs. I mean, that's how you also, that's how you got to look at it, you know. No? listen, I'll do something small group start this week. If you're not in a do something small group, we're doing a church-wide campaign. You can get in a small group today. And if you're going to do it, you're going to get a book outside. Read the first five chapters this week. Last year, 2009, we committed 100,000 hours to the mayor. We gave 166,000 hours to the mayor at $2.6 million value. The church as a whole did 615,000 hours of volunteer service last year. And so in 2010, we're bumping it up. We're going to give the mayor 200,000. And as a total, we're going to do 700,000. So we're starting 24 days ago, and we're going to just continue to serve our community and serve each other. Amen? And so this Do Something series that we're starting this week, we wanted you to read the book, the five chapters in the book, go to the small group, and we're going to blow the roof off a service in San Diego this year. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for everything, all the things people did last year and all the previous 9 years of our history. And we pray that this year would be the biggest year ever of service in our city and around the world. We thank you for all the faithful people, especially last night, that were here last night. We pray they're blessed and encouraged. And I pray that you would encourage us today to do something that would honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was going into my second year with the Chargers, I had just gotten my 280ZX. Y'all remember that car? It's like a dinosaur now. I actually drove that car 200,000 miles or something ridiculous, drove it into the ground. But right after my rookie year with the Chargers, I decided to drive back to New York, where I'm from. And so I got the car ready and got my map and everything, and I drove. My goal was to drive as faster than anyone had ever driven to New York. And so I started asking people how fast they made it. And I drove in 2.5 days from San Diego to New York. I remember driving up on the lawn of my house at 5 o'clock in the morning. And whenever you go on a trip, you have to have certain things in place to make a successful trip. Our life is like a trip. It's like a journey. And the same preparations and considerations you make when you take a trip, you have to take when you as through your life. Jesus said something very, very powerful about the journey of your life. He said something very interesting. Now, before I tell you what he said, let's make sure we understand who Jesus is and what he's done. You're talking about the most intelligent, most educated, most supernatural man ever lived, God in the flesh, did miracles, outwitted all the religious leaders. And he said something very, very powerful about you and me. If you look at John chapter 14, John chapter 14, verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. Depending on what translation you have, it says, Jesus said, I guarantee you this truth. Those who believe in me will do the things I am doing. Everyone say, do something. Let me read again. I guarantee you this truth. Those who believe in me will do the things that I am doing. They will even do greater things because I go to the Father. I will do anything you ask the Father in my name so that the Father will be given glory because of the Son. If you ask me to do something, I will do it. Let me just rephrase that. When Jesus looks at you and your life from the day you were born to the day you die is like a trip. But let's just start from today. Starting right now today, Jesus is saying about all of you, if you trust me, you will do great works. Everyone say, do something. You will do something way above your head. And matter of fact, Jesus said, if you trust in me, you will do greater works than I did. You will do things way above your head. You will do things more courageous than you think. You will do things more wise than you think. You will learn things you never thought you could learn. You will exercise faith beyond what you ever thought you could exercise faith. You will help more people than you ever imagined helping. Some of y'all are going through a trial right now. Matter of fact, how many of y'all are going through a trial right now? You will go through trials that you never ever thought you can get through, and you will thank me for that. How many of y'all have been through something and very painful, and after it was over, you thank God for it? Okay? Yeah, most of us. But right in the midst of it, it's very painful. So what Jesus is saying is that if you trust in me, You will accomplish things in your life you never thought possible, way above your head. Even now as you sit here, some of y'all have been Christians and you're in some pattern in your life, and Jesus is saying, you know what, you haven't even gotten started. I'm turning 50 in March, March 30th, by the way, just if y'all want to write that down. Or just want to make sure y'all knew that. Just send stuff right here and I'll get it. Make sure I get it. So I've been literally, and I'm very excited about it, by the way, I've been preparing for 50. I've been getting ready for 50. I keep telling my wife I'm going global, and like every day I'm going global, going global. So anything positive happens, it's Deb, I'm going global. And I'm preparing for 50, because 50, just for me, is when I want to have certain things in place so God can do more things. So even from this point forward, God says, if you trust me, I will do greater works through you than you ever imagined, stuff I didn't even do. Now, here's the good thing about Jesus. Not only did Jesus say it, Jesus has a plan. Everyone say, five P's. Let me see your fingers. Let's put your hands up. Say, five P's. Jesus has a plan, and we're going to give you the overview of the plan, and over the next 5 weeks, we're going to flesh out the five P's. The five P's are what I believe are five words, five phases of Jesus' life. And they all started with the letter P. That's why we call it the five P's. One is preparation. Everyone say preparation. Preparation. Say purpose. Purpose. Say pain. Pain. Say power. Power. Say passion. Passion. Those are the five P's. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at the first P. Ephesians chapter 2. And here's the theory. Is that Jesus Christ's life went through these five P's, or these five P's applied to his life. And these five P's also apply to your life. The first P is preparation, that God has prepared everything for Jesus to do something. God has prepared everything for you to do something great. The second P is purpose. Our purpose is simply to obey God. Jesus' purpose was to obey God. Your purpose is to obey God. The third P is pain. Jesus had pain. Can I get an amen if you had pain in your life? You got pain. Pain doesn't only have to hurt. The fourth P is power. Jesus had incredible power, and the same power he had, same power you have. And the fifth P is passion. He was determined never ever to quit until he was finished. That's why when he was on the cross, what did he say in his last words? It is finished. If we're going to do something with our life, we are going to have the passion to never quit even though it gets hard. First P, number one in your notes, you have been completely prepared to do something great. You have been completely prepared to do something great. Whenever you go on a trip, when I went on my trip to New York, I had to make sure I had oil in the car, had to make sure the tires were inflated, had to make sure I had a map, had to make sure I had my music and any other paraphernalia that was going to help me get through the trip that we'll talk about in a few minutes. But I had to make sure everything was in place for me to make that trip. In your journey in your life, God is telling you, you are going to do, if you believe in me, incredible things, even greater things than I do. Now, you have to believe that. But you also have to believe that God has made all the preparations necessary for you to do what he has called you to do. How many of you ever felt in your heart, there's got to be more to my life than this, or I deserve better than this? Anybody ever thought that? Well, here's what God is saying. You're exactly right. I got something for you. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should do them. God says, we have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has prepared. Guess what he's given you? He's given you faith. He's given you love. He's given you his word. He's given you circumstances. Right now, there's somebody praying to God to get help, and he's praying to God to get the help that only you can give. God has already prepared. Whenever you're in a situation where you're going to help somebody and you're nervous, even the trials some of you are going through, God is saying, I already got you. I told you I was being challenged to go to trial for the Prop 8 trial, and I got a lawyer, and it blew over. I don't think I'm going to have to go. But that whole process was designed to make me holy. And God says, I'm going to prepare you for whatever I challenge you to do. And so every time God has called you to do something, whether it be today or the rest of your life, God says, I already have all the circumstances for you. If you're going to witness to somebody, they are waiting for you to witness to them. If you're going to help somebody in the hospital, they're already waiting for you to help them. Number two in your notes. Number two, there is a simple, simple purpose behind everything you do. The second P is purpose. There is a very, very simple purpose behind everything you do. Turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, all the way in the back. 1 John 5, 3. It's the fourth book from the end of the Bible. 1 John 5, 3. How many of y'all have kids? Raise your hand. Very good. This is a good kid one. 1 John 5, 3. The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And look what it says in verse 3. It says, 1 John 5, 3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. The number one thing with your kids is your kids say, well, Daddy, I want to do this. Daddy, I want to do this. And you know what your job is as a kid? Just do what I say. Just do what I say. You know what our relationship with God is? Our number one purpose is to do what he says. Everything that God wants you to do is 100% out of obedience. It has nothing to do with emotion. And when you're in a relationship, of course, there's love has emotion tied to it, and our relationship with God has emotion tied to it. There's joy, there's ups and downs, but the bottom line is that when God tells you to do something, our simple purpose in life is to obey God. Whatever you are going through right now, if you want to do something great with your life, all you have to do is simply obey God. What does that mean? God, tell me what I'm supposed to do. You can get counsel from this person, get counsel from that person, get counsel from the word, absolutely. But the bottom line is, are you obedient? There can be two guys walking down the street and a homeless person asking for a dollar. God can tell me, don't give him a dollar. And the person right behind me gives him a dollar. Matter of fact, when I was in Mexico, we were giving some clothes and food to some kids down in Mexico when I was a youth pastor. And this little girl, she was about five, she came out, it was raining, it was cold, and she said, zapatos, necesito zapatos, means I need some shoes. And I said, I got some zapatos for you. And God said, no zapatos for her. I said, God, you can speak Spanish? And you know, he didn't think that was funny. So I said, no zapatos. And she's like, oh, you know, she walked away, and I was, you know, whatever. And about a few minutes later, she came back. And one of our teenagers had a bag of shoes. We had tons of clothes. He gave us some shoes, and she walked away. And as soon as she walked away, the pastor of the church came out and said, if that girl comes back, don't give her anything. I said, why not? Because she's not poor. It's a little scam. She comes up here every time missionaries come, and they take the clothes and the food or whatever, and they go down the street and sell it. It's a scam. Your job is not to figure out right and wrong. Your job is to obey. Say, my job is to obey. Very good. God says, I've prepared you with everything to do something. And your purpose is simply to do what I call you to do. No matter how many people are skeptical, no matter how many people don't believe you, no matter how many people don't believe in you, by faith, you obey the Father. When I went on my trip to New York, I went to AAA to get a map, and they give you this map called the Trip Pick. And basically, every page is about 100 miles of the trip. And they have this little page of a map, and they highlight the route you're supposed to take. Now, I had never driven to New York. I had no idea where I was going. And I know the country is pretty big, so I had to trust the map. And I had never been to any of the places I went. So I had to look at that map and only do what that map told me. And if I didn't obey that map, I would have got lost. And every now and then, I think a couple, three times, I missed my exit, and instead of trying to figure it out, I just turned around and went back to the map. This right here is our map. God said, your purpose is to obey God. That's it. That's your purpose. And if you live a life where you're obedient to God, if God tells you to move, you move. God tells you to change your job, you change your job. God tells you to give a certain amount of money, you give a certain amount of money. If God tells you to go over there and say sorry to someone who just stabbed you in your back, you go over there and tell that person, I'm sorry, who just stabbed you in the back. And you apologize to them for whatever drama it caused to have them stab you in the back. Whatever it is, you say sorry. You do what God tells you to do. And guaranteed, 100% money back guarantee, you will see God do stuff in your life. Third P. You ain't gonna like this one. Pain. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. It's about three or four, maybe five books before where you are, right before it. Hebrews chapter 12. God has prepared you to do something. There's a simple purpose behind everything you do, obedience. And by the way, when you obey God, sometimes people in your life don't understand. In other words, they won't agree with you. For example, you may break up with somebody because they're not walking with God like you need them to, which ladies, is an excellent reason to break up with somebody. And fellas, the same thing. You know, someone's not nurturing you spiritually, or they don't want to walk with God like you need to walk with God. And you say, you know, I just can't be with you anymore. And if they don't understand, that's, you can explain it to them, but them not being able to understand is irrelevant to what you have to do. As you have to say, you know, you may not understand, but I just got to be obedient to God. So our purpose is to obey God. The third point, the third P, is pain. There will be pain. When I was driving to New York, I left here at 1:30 in the afternoon, and I ended up getting to Amarillo, Texas, something early in the morning. I drove all night. I love driving at night, so I drove all night, and I got there, and the car broke down. So I had to get the car fixed. I got it fixed real quick, took a little nap, and then drove to the next morning. In your trip, in your journey through life, there's going to be pain. And it's never going to end. It's always going to come. It's going to come and go through your whole life. I don't know how much and how often, but it's always going to be there. We're never going to get away from it. The problem, or the good news, is that pain does not only have to hurt. Look what it says in chapter 12, verse 11. Chapter 12, verse 11. It says, we don't enjoy being disciplined. It always seems to cause more pain than joy. But, everyone say, but. But later on, those who learn from that discipline or pain or trial have peace that comes from doing what is right. In other words, when you're going through a hard time, you're not going to like it. Oh, it's painful. I don't like this. I don't enjoy it. And you know what God says? I get that. But if you obey me through the process, if you obey me through the process, you will have joy and righteousness in your life. Pain will come, but it doesn't only have to hurt. When I was, I finally became a starter with the Chargers my third year. And we played my fourth game, we played the Raiders Monday Night Football at the Coliseum. So needless to say, that was a big game. Amen. And I'm thinking, this is my big opportunity. My boys all watching home. All the NFL's watching, you know, big opportunity. And they called this play, which if it went my way, I was going to make a big play because it was set up for me to be in a certain place at a certain time. And everything worked out. I'm running towards this spot where I think the quarterback was going to throw the ball. I think it was Jim Plunkett at the time, for all you old people who remember that name. How many of y'all never heard of Jim Plunkett? Look at all these hands go up. Yeah. He's an old dude like me. So, and he threw the ball, and I jumped up to get the ball. You know, it was about, you know, 60, 70 feet up in the air, and it was birds, and, you know, plane went by. I was just all distracting, but I was trying to concentrate on the ball, and the lights from the stadium got in my eyes because I was up there by the lights, and right as the ball touched my hand, there happened to be a guy on our team. I'm not going to say his name because Lyndon wouldn't want me to do that. And he was like 6'5", you know, 240 pounds. And he was kind of like would run in the wrong direction every now and then. And he was running at me, and he had a cast on his arm. and he was big, you know, because he was big and heavy, and he ran into you, sometimes you would get hurt. He put like three guys out on our team, just like ended their careers because he ran into him. I was the next victim. So I'm running towards the quarterback, jump up in the air, and as I come down, his arm flew right across my knee, and I did 360 on the ground, and basically that was the end of my career. Blew my knee out. I was out for the game, out for 9 weeks or 7 weeks or whatever it was. And I remember thinking, man, I'm on the bench, and if I would have caught the ball, there was nothing but green in between me and the end zone. Nothing in front of me. The very next play, another player intercepted a pass, went for a touchdown. I'm on the bench thinking that was supposed to be me. And I didn't play for another 2 months. And I remember on the bus driving home, and the team doctor was sitting next to me. He was kind of caring for me, and I'm here with a big bag of ice, and I knew I was going to have surgery. He was going to operate on me next day or the day after. And God said to me something very powerful. He says, what you going to do now? He said, everybody on the team, I had just gotten saved. I was all vocal about my faith. He says, everybody on the team is going to see what you're going to do. Your God failed you. Are you going to be a Christian now? Are you going to keep your faith now? Are you still going to go to Bible study? Are you still going to praise God? I said, yeah. So I sat on the bus for 2 hours. We were at the L.A. Coliseum when the Raiders went to L.A. And for 2 hours, I witnessed to the doctor. I said, Doc, you know my career is over. And you know, I went through all the reasons why, and it was basically right. I said, but Jesus has my life. I said, I know he has something better for me. And just witnessed to him for 2 hours. He didn't get saved, but he got 2 hours of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, even in your pain, God says, I want you to obey me. Because it's in those times that not only will I do something most powerful in your life, I will do something most powerful through your life. I got hurt. The guy who ended up discipling me, he blew his knee out. And Kellen Winslow, at the same year, he blew his knee out. We had Bible study, four people, three of us had knee surgeries. The only guy who wasn't hurt was a guy named Gil Bird, and I know he was thinking, man, I don't want to get close to these brothers because whatever they got, I don't want to get. And the guy who discipled me, he got hurt. He was 6'4", 225 pounds, running back, and he was just jogging in practice. And if you remember Coach Coriel was just kind of acting as a defensive player. It was like half speed, and all he did was kind of cut the go-around Coach Coriel and blew his knee out. And by the way, ended his career just like that. Just like no one touched him. He wasn't even going full speed. And we're all sitting there in Bible study, and you know what God says? I'm going to do something in your life. I'm going to do something through your life, through this pain. Pain will come. We have to deal with it. You have to deal with it. Number four, power. Everyone say power. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. A few books before where you are. Ephesians chapter 3. You cannot take a trip without an engine that works. A powerful engine that works. Unfortunately, when I took my trip back to New York, my car worked, but I also had some artificial stimulants to keep me awake. I'm not going to elaborate on that, but you know my history. And I would drive all night. I drove all night each night that I drove home. And I, not only was my car, did it have power, I had power. Supernatural. It wasn't supernatural. It was chemical, if you know what I'm saying. Little white powder, chemical power. I would never advise it. Please don't try that at home. What God wants you to do, you cannot do in your own power. If you are trying to be a Christian in your own power, forget it. If you are trying to bring about change in someone else's life in your own power, forget it. If you're trying to do something credible with your life and God, you want God to bless your business, bless your relationship, bless your ministry, bless your idea, and you're trying to do it in your own power, forget it. Stop. You're wasting your time. It doesn't mean you can't do something in the natural world. It doesn't mean you can't make a lot of money in the natural world. It doesn't mean you can't help people in the natural. I'm not saying you can't do that. But if you're trying to do something spiritual, you can't do it without God's spiritual power. It's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's only by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus got baptized, what happened? He came out of the water and the Holy Spirit came on him. The Holy Spirit came on him. What did the Holy Spirit do? He said, the first thing we got to do is we got to go deal with the devil. First thing. They went out 40 days, 40 nights. He fasted. And he was in the desert with the devil. But he was empowered by the Holy Ghost. And when he did miracles, they said, you do miracles by the devil. He said, no, I do miracles by the Spirit of God. Matter of fact, my miracles are proof. My miracles are proof that the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God is here. And so for you and me, if you're thinking, well, God, you want me to do something, the first thing, the fourth thing you need to know is that you're going to need power. When Jesus took a demon out of this little boy, he spoke 17 words and a demon came out of him. And his disciples said, how did you do that? Because we've been praying all day, speaking in tongues, boom, shaka, praying, doing smoke on him, dancing around, waving bones, smoking, and nothing happened. He said, you need fasting and prayer because you need power. If you want something to happen in your life supernatural, you need power. Look what it says in chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3:20, it says that, let me read this. Glory belongs to God whose power is at work in us. By this power, he can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. By his power. You know what's amazing about that verse? Is that we always talk about, you know, imagination and God has given you the ability to imagine. You know what God says? I want you to imagine. I want you to dream. Think of the most incredible life I would have for you according to my gifts and calling your life. Just close your eyes and just go, I want this, God. You know what God would say? That's it. That's it. God has given you the ability to imagine. He's given you the ability to create and have ideas. Why? Because he's the one who can fulfill those ideas. I'm not saying you can say, well, I'm going to be the president. You ever ask little kids what they want to be? I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to go to the moon. I want to be the president. I'm not talking about stuff like that. I'm talking about that ability to dream. Yes, it's from God. Now, God, you tell me your ideas. You tell me what you want to do. And with that ability to dream, he's going to instill in you a vision from him. But that vision that he gives you cannot happen with your own power. It has to happen with his power, but it can happen. So it forces you to be completely dependent on him. And some of y'all in here have dreams from God, and it won't go away. It's just hitting you like a drum over and over, and it won't go away. I got saved in 1984, and I started going to Horizon at North Park Theater in 1984. And I remember sitting in the sanctuary, my wife and I, we had never been to a Christian church. And I remember sitting in the back, right back of the church, and people were singing. I'd never been in a church where people were singing, and I'd never been in a church where people had jeans on, and no one had a suit. And I was like, this is a trip. And I was 24 years old, and I was like, wow, they're singing. I was crying, and not because the song was great. It was just the Spirit of God. And I remember being in North Park Theater saying, you know, I'm going to be a pastor one day. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I had all these ideas, and I was really clueless to what that really meant because about, I don't know, 10 years or so later, I was going to start a church at Crawford High School, and I was getting all the plans together, and God said, not now. I had boils on my face. Actually, they were real big zits, but boils sounds more biblical. Kind of a revelation thing, you know what I'm saying? And I was nauseous. Every time I talked about this church I was going to start, I would get nauseous, like I was going to throw up, and I haven't thrown up since I was like 5 years old, so I was like, this was a bit, you know, I was like getting sick, and God said, not now. But the point is, for all those years, God kept saying, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And he never let it go. And finally, in 2000, he said, it happened. God has put something in you, and he says, I'm going to do it, but it has to be by my power. And by the way, it's only going to happen if you're obedient. And it's going to be according to my power. Number five. P number five. Doing something significant will require passion. That consistently screams, don't quit. Turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke, I am your father. Luke chapter 9. My brother was a Golden Gloves boxer and ended up becoming a professional boxer, and he was 20th in the world at one time. Fought for a world championship. He did have a championship fight, but he lost the fight. And in the amateur boxing, when you get knocked down, they give you a standing eight count. So it means that if you, you know, you get knocked down, you can get up at one or you can get up at 10, but no matter how long it takes you to stand up, they give you 8 more seconds to recover. And so, and then they kind of ask you, you know, are you okay? And, you know, they kind of just check you because even though you're standing up, you can still be knocked out. And so my brother's friend was in a fight, got knocked down, boom. He stood up. The ref counted to 8, and he looked at him, and he seemed okay. So the ref said, are you okay? And if they really are not sure, they'll say, we're going to stop the fight, because that's like the most, you know, dramatic thing you could say to a boxer, because he's not going to want to stop the fight. So my brother's friend got knocked down. He got up. They counted to 8, and he says, you okay? He says, yeah. And he says, and the ref looked at him and says, I think I'm going to stop the fight. And my brother's friend said, I think that's a good idea. I don't like getting punched in the face. And that brother over there looks mad, you know, so maybe. I'm so glad Jesus didn't say that. Can you imagine when they were whipping him? Jesus says, you know, I think that's a good idea. I think we should stop. I don't want to die. Or when Judas betrayed him, or when they were pulling his beard out, or when they put the thorns in his head. Can you imagine if he would have said, Father, I can't do this? Because when he was in the garden right before he was arrested, he says, Father, I don't want to do this. I really don't. You know, why can't Peter die? He's just, this brother's been a pain in my neck, you know, for 3 years. Go kill Judas. Look what he just did, you know. Why I gotta die? And then he says, but you know what, God, Father, no matter how painful this will be, I will do it. I'm good. God is saying to you and me, one day you're going to die. We don't know when that day is going to come, but between now and the day you die is like a journey. And through that journey, everything God has for you to do, which, by the way, is way above your head, he has prepared you. The only way you're going to do it is if you obey him. There is never, everyone say never. There is never a circumstance, a situation where disobedience will get what God wants. It's always obedience, and it's always obedience by faith. In other words, he will tell you to do something, and you will not want to do it. You will not understand how it's relevant. That's too bad. Do it, and then you will see, and realize that it always works out when you obey God, 100%. There will be pain in your life, and even in the midst of that pain, God is saying to you, obey me. Because in the midst of that pain, the only way you can get through that pain, and I'm not saying the pain will go away, but the only way you can get out of the pain what pain is designed to give you is to obey. And by the way, pain is designed to give you something good. You need power. You can't do it without God's power. And even getting that power is out of obedience through prayer, submission, fasting, consistent service. You just continue to be faithful. God will bless you with power if you are faithful. And then lastly, you can't quit. Look at chapter 9, verse 62 in Luke. Jesus said, whoever starts the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Let me read again. Whoever starts the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Okay, God, I'm walking with you. Let's do this. Hold up. I got to go over here and party. Hey. Okay, God, I'm walking with you. Oh, yeah, this girl over here. Hey, I'm going to go over here. Okay, hey, make up your mind. Ladies, remember back in the day, maybe you have a boyfriend like this now, and I know women are like this too, but more so guys. They want to date you, then they don't want to date you. They want to be together, then they don't want to be committed. Has anybody experienced this? Okay, my wife will tell you this was my story, and it was. I was with her, I wasn't with her. I was with her, I wasn't with her. I was with her, I drove her crazy. And every now and then she reminds me, you're lucky I was patient. Because you were like a mess. And it is 100% true. And I am lucky and I was a mess. And it wasn't until Jesus came in my life that I got straightened out. But I was, you know, with her, I was breaking up, it was bad. Not with her, I was with her, I wasn't with her. I was with her, I wasn't with her. I was a mess. You know what Jesus says? It's a relationship. And if you really want to do something great with your life, don't quit. Some of y'all started reading through the Bible this year, possibly. You say, I'm going to get up and pray every day. Don't quit. Keep doing it. Be consistent. Because if you're going back and forth, do you really have a relationship with Christ? I'm not saying people who vacillate don't have a relationship with Christ, but Christ is telling you, I want you to be consistent. Because what God wants to do in your life is a good thing, but it's going to require you to be faithful. The five P's. Everyone say preparation. Say purpose. Say pain. Say power. Say passion. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. Thank you so much for your plan. And Lord, we pray that we can be faithful to you. We pray that over the next 5 weeks now running, over these next 6 weeks, that not only will we go through the curriculum and get it, but that we, by faith, would do something that we never thought possible. As you do something in us, we trust you will do something through us. May we be a blessing to San Diego. Lord, I pray that you transform lives, that people would get vision and have vision affirmed in their life that they never thought possible. And they would be excited about taking you for your word that you said that if we believe in you, we would do greater things than you did. May we believe that and go for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go out and get a book, get in a group, and we'll see you next week.